You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. This week, California hit a grim milestone. It now has the highest number of COVID-19 cases of any state in the country. Hospitalizations and ICU rates continue to rise. Here to put a local spotlight on these numbers is FM89's Carrie Klein with our weekly COVID-19 update. Carrie, welcome back.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you.
So give us a summary of what's happened in the Valley this week.
Okay, so these are grim milestones indeed. As you said, we have the most cases of any state. Of course, we also have the highest population of any state. And when you actually look at the per capita rates of the disease, other states are still faring much worse than California is, like New York and Florida. In the Valley, in the last week, another milestone, the disease has hit 1% of our population. One out of every 100 people has tested positive. And the CDC, of course, has indicated that the positivity rate is likely much higher than that. And I also wanted to add a couple notes about testing. Tests have been backlogged across the state. It takes a long time to schedule a test, even longer to get your results back. I touched on this briefly last week, but to try to alleviate these backlogs, the state is really prioritizing people with symptoms right now, or those who work in high-risk sectors and may have been exposed. And of course, if you do ever have questions, contact your doctor or county health official, but those groups of people are getting priority for testing. And also on that note, if you've tested positive, the state and county do not require you to get a second negative test in order to go back to work. This is a really common misconception out there. The county is very much discouraging workplaces from requiring this negative test, again, because of this backlog. The current guidelines now from the CDC, they've changed recently, are that you're required to quarantine 10 days after a positive test, plus one day after your symptoms are gone, and then you're considered recovered without needing another test.
That's so interesting. I had no idea. Thank you for that. So let's switch gears. As usual, I'd love it if you could walk us through some highlights this week from all of the counties in our region.
Okay, so let's start with Fresno. There's an update on the outbreak in the county jail. The case count there is up to more than 700 cases as of earlier this week. That includes 40 staff. That means roughly a third of all people in the county jail tested positive and 10% of staff. And for now, inmates are still being quarantined according to their testing status. In Kern County, they are back on the state monitoring list. They had been off for a couple of weeks. So that means that the most recent round of closures, things like gyms, places of worship, personal hygiene, like salons and waxing centers, tattoos. The closures of those businesses will apply soon, if not this morning, while the show is running. Also, next Tuesday, the county will be bringing an interesting proposal to the Board of Supervisors to bring in more nurses. The plan proposes using federal CARES Act money to hire 84 ICU nurses who'd be distributed among county hospitals. All right, Kings County, there's been an additional drive-through testing site added in Hanford. It's at the site of Alma's Flea Market. You can find out more from the Kings County Public Health website. In Madera, county health officials there held their first info session this week on COVID-19 since March, and they spent most of it answering residents' questions, a lot about masks and testing and schools. It's a good place to go for a lot of basic information. You can find it on the County Public Health Department's Facebook page. Again, that was Madera County. Now, if we go to Merced, UC Merced has joined the ranks of schools starting their year online. They haven't made a decision about an entire quarter or semester yet, but the first 4 weeks starting in August will all be online. In Tulare County, more county offices are closing. We've been reporting on that these last few weeks. And this week, it's a Tulare Works office in Dinuba and Child Support Service offices in Visalia and Porterville. These offices are just closing temporarily, so check back on their website for when they may reopen. And then lastly, Mariposa, again, case counts there are rising, but only very slowly. And the county health officials have introduced a new data dashboard where you can see lots of different data elements online.
That's great. Now let's continue our discussion of local hospitals and what they're doing to keep up with capacity issues as COVID cases surge. In the past few weeks, we've heard from administrators at Kern Medical, Valley Children's, and Cahuilla Delta. Who did you speak to this week?
So this week, it was St. Agnes Medical Center, the second largest hospital in Fresno, and I spoke with Gene Egerton, the chief medical officer. He echoes what I've been hearing from other hospitals in this area. They're inundated right now, not just COVID patients, but patients in general, and capacity is becoming a concern.
We're not at our licensed bed capacity, which is 436, but we are for the staffed beds that we have pretty much full.
though he says they do have space for COVID patients at the moment and for those coming in for necessary procedures like surgeries.
So what are they doing to prepare for a surge?
Well, they're already implementing their surge protocol, he says, and also that goes for a lot of hospitals. And that protocol includes setting up tents in their parking lot. There's one for evaluating patients, the other for isolating patients while they await test results. That's because hospitals have some fast return tests for patients who show up at the emergency room. But their plan also includes setting up an isolated respiratory unit. Here's more from Egerton.
That pretty much consists of rooms that we isolate. We turn those rooms into negative airflow rooms because COVID patients require that type of airborne isolation environment. We actually have converted two floors in the north wing of our facility into COVID-only floors, which gives us the capacity to take care of patients in a completely isolated environment that also contains an ICU capacity.
He mentioned the term negative airflow room. What does that mean?
So this is actually a pretty common setup in hospitals when you have infectious patients. The airflow is in a particular room is basically set to a vacuum. I mean, not strong enough that it's actually sucking anything up, but strong enough that it won't let air out of a room. So that keeps any aerosols or airborne particles or droplets from getting out of the room to infect anyone else.
That's so interesting. I mean, of course, hospitals need to plan not just for taking care of COVID patients, but also for keeping other patients COVID-free. How else can hospitals keep other patients safe?
Well, as Egerton told me, they've dedicated two floors of a particular wing to COVID, and that keeps those patients from mingling with others. A lot of hospitals are making arrangements like that, kind of setting up pods or units specifically for COVID. But in their surge plans, hospitals are also mapping out entry and exit routes so that patients and staff don't get any more exposure to COVID patients than necessary.
We cover a lot of ground in these weekly interviews, but there is so much more out there. Where would you suggest people go to get the information they need?
Yeah, I mean, I think there really is a thirst for basic knowledge out there, especially because so much of the basic information has been changing so rapidly in all this. So, you know, one really easy place to go is local health departments. Every county has one. They're really putting in an effort to put information out on their websites. Fresno County holds media calls 3 times per week. Kern County has one every Thursday. Madera County just held one this week. And then also lots of hospitals are offering information on their websites. Valley Children's held a town hall this week. Next week, Cahuilla Delta will. Get in touch with county officials, check out websites, get on mailing lists. There are really a lot of places where you can go to get the information you need.
Well, Carrie, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.